Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already.
Last week, we shared the first part of a sermon from Acts 22, considering the opportunities that we have to see God at work and hear His voice speaking to us. This morning, we break into the middle of this message as Pastor Goin shares an illustration from personal experience as a parent. Here is Pastor Goin with today's message entitled, A Fresh Encounter with God.
About 12 and a half years ago, our world changed forever when we welcomed a little boy named Jameson into the world. And when he was born, I learned a lot of things. I learned things about babies. I learned things about myself. I learned things about Jennifer. We brought this little baby home from the hospital, and it didn't matter what was happening, whether we were having a conversation on the complete opposite end of the house. It didn't matter if a vacuum cleaner was running. It didn't matter if an Apache helicopter had lowered and was hovering right over our house. If Jameson let out the slightest whimper, Jennifer, with her precision motherly instinct, would hear that whimper. I mean, this is a lady who has a verifiable medical hearing deficiency, only 30% hearing in one ear, and she uses that to her advantage, I think, sometimes with me. But she could hear that baby when he so much as moved his head. If I had to live with me, I'd want less than 30% hearing capacity, maybe. In fact, she could hear him when he wasn't making any noise at all. There'd be times we'd be sitting there and Jameson was in bed for the night, and all of a sudden she'd put up her hand. I'd say, "What is it?" And she'd say, "I thought I heard Jameson." Why was she like that? Because her motherly heart was tuned in, honed in to hear her baby. She was tuned in. And Jesus says to us, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you listening for the voice of God? God wants us to see Him, to be in His presence, to have a fresh encounter with Him. And He wants to speak to us. I believe He wants to speak words of encouragement. Maybe that's what you need to hear this morning, are words of encouragement. You need to be reminded Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's trustworthy. You can trust Him. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love, a steadfast love, a goodness that chases after you. He's still on His throne this morning. He's ruling in sovereign power and majesty. He wants to remind you, He's never lost a battle. He wants to remind you today, the devil isn't in charge. Aren't you thankful for that? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil is already a defeated foe. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is impossible. Be encouraged. He wants to speak words of encouragement. Or it might be that God wants to speak words of conviction. It may be that God would want you, would speak to you, and want you to face things that hinder you in your walk with God, things that are in your heart that you've not gained victory. Something in your heart that draws you towards things that should have no place in your life. And we come to God's house and we hear His word preached and God speaks and He checks us here and He prompts us there. And if you'll be sensitive to His voice, God wants to speak to you even on a Sunday morning like this. He speaks to you because He wants you to face up to even little, maybe seemingly insignificant areas of carelessness, little attitudes towards your spouse that don't please the Lord, little areas of worldliness that have crept into your heart, into your life, ways the world has slipped in and tricked you or sucked you into its mold. Or maybe He would talk to you about that seemingly insignificant area where you've harbored bitterness or unforgiveness or a critical, nitpicky spirit and you've withheld kindness or fellowship from others because you don't see eye to eye. Little ways that you've talked when you should have been silent, or you've been silent when you should have talked. Maybe little ways you've grown careless about honoring the Lord's Day, keeping it holy. God talks. He talks to us about these things. Little things like a lack of enthusiastic worship and praise or a lack of witness to the people around you. God speaks. He speaks words of encouragement. He speaks words of conviction. He speaks words of direction. He speaks words of invitation. He invites you if you've not been born again. This morning He says, "Come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest from the burden of your sin." He invites you to be sanctified holy. He wants you to recognize your need, and He wants you to understand the possibilities of His grace. He speaks, He invites, He urges you to be ready for His return. He speaks. Ananias told Paul that God had chosen him, and the fact is, He's chosen us, that we would see the Just One, that we would see Jesus, that we would hear His voice. But to simply be in God's presence, to hear His voice, isn't enough, because He also anticipates that we would know His will and that we would do it. That's called obedience. Paul has an encounter with Jesus, and he says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" What Paul didn't realize in that moment was just how much God wanted him to do. And aren't you glad that God doesn't show us everything He wants us to do all at one time? I'm thankful. Now, sometimes we think we would like to have the veil that separates us from the future. We'd like to have that removed so that we could see off into the distance. But you know, the more that we trust Him, I think the easier it becomes to see the beauty of just take this one step. And then just take this one step. Because I think that day on the road to Damascus, if Paul had been able to see the future, if he could have realized one day he's going to be writing, "I've been beaten by rods 3 times. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've faced all kinds of dangers. I've been adrift at sea. I've had sleepless nights. I've gone hungry. I've not had enough clothes to wear sometimes. I've had to carry a burden for all of these New Testament churches." I think if Paul could have seen that at Damascus, it would have been overwhelming. Paul wasn't ready for that in that moment. But God spoke to Paul and He gave him the next step. And as Paul obeyed that step, God gave the next step. Paul sees God. He's encountered by Him. He says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the first step that God gave him was very practical. "Rise, Paul, get up and go on into Damascus. And once you get to Damascus, then I'll tell you what you're going to do." Step by step by step. And so Paul is obedient. He goes to Damascus. And after he's in Damascus, God is faithful then to show him the next step. Rise and be baptized. And then when Paul gets to Jerusalem, God gives him another step. "Go out, Paul. I'm sending you to the Gentiles with the message of the gospel." At every juncture when God spoke, Paul obeyed. But he had to obey in order for God to continue speaking to him and directing him. And I would say to us this morning, God wants us to see Him, God wants to speak to us, and He wants us to hear Him. But when He speaks, If we want to continue hearing his voice, we've got to obey. We walk in obedience. You can't choose your own way and ignore what God has talked to you about in the past and assume that he'll continue to guide you and bless you. Moses laid that out so clearly to the children of Israel. He said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord." When God speaks and he gives us clear direction, when he invites us to walk the path that he set before us, our response, the only proper response, is, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it." Clear obedience, conscious obedience, complete obedience. Good intentions aren't enough. Tears aren't enough. Words aren't enough. God honors obedience. And I don't know what God maybe has talked to you about in the past. He has a remarkable way of meeting us right where we are. And you know what? God knows how to speak your language. He knows how to speak English that you understand. He knows how to speak to people that live in the north. And he knows how to speak to people that live in the south. And he knows how to speak to people who live overseas. God knows you individually. And he knows how to get right where you are, where you can understand him. Sometimes we might have a hard time connecting, but God doesn't have a hard time connecting. He knows where you are and he knows how to connect with you. And he speaks. He speaks. And when he speaks, he anticipates that we would obey. But too many people have an encounter with God. They hear his voice as he speaks. They get stirred up for a little while, but they never walk in complete obedience. It's a little homespun, but it makes me think about one fella. It was a preacher. He told about a train that was headed from Chicago down to New Orleans. And this fellow was on a southbound train. He was sitting in a seat that was faced towards the south, but somewhere along the journey he decided, "I don't want to go to New Orleans, I want to stay in Chicago." And so he, instead of getting off and changing trains at the next depot station, he got up out of his seat that faced towards the south and found another seat that faced towards the north. And so he was on a southbound train with his mind on the north, and when the conductor announced that the train was in New Orleans, he was so upset. He thought, "I turned around several hours ago. I was starting north," but he'd never gotten off the wrong train and gotten on the right train. There's a lot of people who have good intentions, but they never take the necessary steps of obedience. I don't know what that might look like for you. It might mean the end of a relationship outside the will of God. It might mean that you need to take some step to volunteer for some ministry. It might mean that you need to give up something, you need to take something on. It could be something that cost you greatly. But if we could talk to the Apostle Paul this morning, wouldn't that be incredible? Someday in heaven to sit down and have conversation with Paul. But if we could bring Paul before us this morning, if he could stand in this pulpit, if he could speak to us and we could ask him, "Paul, do you regret that you heard God's voice on the road to Damascus? Do you regret that you answered God's call? Do you regret following Jesus? Do you wish you hadn't gone on all those missionary journeys and established those churches and put yourself through all of that suffering?" I think he might respond with what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he'd look at us and maybe say something like, "What? That? You mean that light affliction? You mean that temporary suffering that only lasted for a minute?" He said, "Those things worked for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The enemy wants to put your focus on the cost of discipleship, of obedience. Wants to put your focus on the pain of sacrifice. But God offers grace upon grace in this life. And he calls us to focus on the reality of eternal pleasure that far exceeds the pleasures of sin and going my own way in this life. There's a little children's chorus that Francis Stettler taught our kids in Vacation Bible School in North Carolina several years ago. It's so simple, but it gets the point across really well. I said, "The answer is yes. to whatever God says. His will is all right with me. The answer is yes. The answer isn't maybe, or come back and ask me later. When you choose between your own will and the will of the Creator, the answer is, say it out loud with me, yes to whatever God says. Paul's answer was yes to the will of God, and God made him a powerful witness to the world of all that he'd seen and all that he'd heard. When you have a fresh encounter with God, when you see the face of Jesus and you listen to his voice and you walk in obedience to his will, it makes a profound impact on your own life and on your own future, but it also makes a profound difference in the lives of those around you. Ananias told Paul that because he'd seen Jesus and heard him and committed to do his will, he would be a witness unto all men. I read a story some time back about a young businessman who became a Christian. Not long after he became a Christian, he heard his pastor preaching about the need, the importance of spending time with God on a daily basis. And after the service, that pastor, the young man went to his pastor and he said, "You know, I heard what you talked about this morning and that sounds great, but I just don't have the time. I think you live in a different world than I do. I'm a busy man. I have a full work schedule. I don't have time to spend with God every day." But the pastor looked at this young businessman and he said, "Well, I have generally found in my life that I have time to do whatever I want to do. If there's something that's not a top priority, then I won't do it. But if something is important to me, I somehow figure out a way to do it." The pastor said he didn't talk to the man for quite a while after that. I was pretty sure that the young man didn't like what he said. But sometime later, this young man came back to him. And the pastor said his whole countenance was completely changed. And he invited the pastor and his wife, said, "I want you to come to our house. I want you to have dinner with our family." And for a little while before they sat down to eat, this man took his pastor out on the back porch and he showed him a rocking chair. And he said, "You remember how you told us we should get a comfortable view, a comfortable chair, find a view that we like, just spend some quiet time with the Lord every day?" He said, "Well, I like rocking chairs and I love to look out over my backyard." He said, "So I got this rocking chair and every morning since we had that talk, I come out here and I sit down and I drink my coffee and I read my Bible and I ask God to speak to me through His Word and I apply what I've read in my life. And I write down a few thoughts and I spend some time praying, about 30 minutes every morning." And his wife broke in on the conversation. She said, "It's made an incredible difference in his life. He's kinder. He's gentler as a husband, as a father with our children. He's a different man. The time that he spends in that rocking chair has changed him." Well, some time passed and that man came back to his pastor. He said, "You know, in my time sitting in my chair, God has been talking to me. And he said, I feel like I should quit my job and I should come help at the church." The pastor said, "You know, we really can't pay. What makes you think you should do this?" He said, "Well, I've got money saved up. I've done well in my work. But," he said, "sitting in my rocking chair, God has been talking to me about doing this. And I believe this is something he wants me to do. He wants me to get engaged in his work." So he quit his job. Started working for his church. He was an outstanding volunteer. This went on for a number of years until one day he came back to his pastor. He said, "I have a friend who's starting a new church. And as I've been in my rocking chair, reading my Bible, meeting with Jesus, letting him talk to me, God's been talking. And I believe he wants me to go out and help them as they start this church." His pastor said, "Well, can they pay you?" "No, they can't pay me. I'm going to have to go back into the work market, but I believe it's what God has for me." And so he and his wife moved out to the state of Colorado. He got a good job, made good money. Most of it he gave to the new church. Eventually, this man got cancer. He ended up in the hospital, and one of his greatest concerns was that he didn't have his rocking chair to sit and read his Bible and meet with Jesus in the hospital. He ended up passing away. This pastor was called out to Colorado to preach his funeral. And after the funeral, the pastor said the man's wife was talking about how her husband had been such a changed man. And the wife looked at the pastor and she said it was that rocking chair that changed his life. The 30 minutes that he spent in that chair every morning, meeting with Jesus, having a fresh encounter with God, letting God speak to him, that rocking chair made him a different man. The pastor asked her, what do you plan to do with that rocking chair? And she said, oh, we've talked about that chair. She said, we've decided we're going to keep it in the family. We're going to pass it to our children and on to our grandchildren and to their children so they can see what a difference can be made in their lives if they would sit down in a chair and look for Jesus and find him and hear his voice, spend time with him every single day. Folks, when we get in God's presence, when we stop and we really see him and we hear him and then we step out in obedience to do his will, it has a profound impact in our lives. But men, it'll impact your wife. It'll have an impact on your children. If you have grandchildren, the impact will go on to them as the Lord tarries his coming. Could I challenge us this morning to have a heart that says, I would see Jesus. And to have an ear that says, I'm listening, God. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? What steps would you want me to take? And then to have a determination anchored in the depths of our heart. Whatever God says, whatever he shows me, I'm going to walk in that path. I'm going to do his will. The tenor of Scripture over and over again is that as we walk in the statutes and the commandments of God, he blesses us. May not always be the way we would imagine. May not always be the way we thought it would be. But God blesses those who walk in obedience. And God will bless you. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going on a fresh encounter with God. Here's the Cassidys with the song, I Choose to Trust.
Have you ever been beaten low? The doubts and questions are lurking so. That is when the tempter always comes. You wonder if our God's the same. You wonder if he knows your name. In spite of all your doubts, just say to him, I choose to trust the God I cannot see. I choose to walk the path he chose for me. I choose to love the one who gave his life for me. I choose to put my faith and trust in Christ. God said in his word so dear, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw near. Resist the evil one, and he must flee. So then, my friend, take up your shield to Satan's darts. You must never yield. Take courage, lift up your say, I choose to trust the God I cannot see. I choose to walk the path He chose for me. I choose to love the one who gave His life for me. I choose to put my faith and trust in Christ. I choose to
I trust that it's true for you that you too have chosen to trust our faithful God. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. If you need help with transportation to church, please contact us, and perhaps one of our church buses may be able to pick you up on a Sunday morning for Sunday school. Or, if you enjoy listening to stories for children, you can call 717-273-4561 or 4562 and hear a short story with a devotional message that applies to them. Now, we hope to see you in person. But if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There, you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.